Hey, I'm Lordana.
And I'm Christina. And welcome to Spirit Says. Hey, Lori, how are you today?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. And I'm so happy to be talking to you today. We haven't been on the podcast for a little bit. We had to take
just a tiny bit.
Yeah, just a, you know, we had to get some stuff done. And Lori and I were talking before about how crazy the month of June was for us. And even, you know, with graduations and Lori's daughter's birthday. Happy birthday to her. Mm-hmm. The kids are growing up. Anyway, so, but today we're going to talk about the last two niyamas, the last two observances, mm-hmm. which are the things that we do to or observe about ourselves during kind of as a yogic philosophy kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about last week tapas, which is discipline and just allowing ourselves to be a little bit more disciplined. And also there's another one that is about contentment and just feeling and kind of contemplating, honestly, what it's like to feel and kind of study these different ways of, you know, who you are.
Right.
Does that
right.
sound okay? Mm-hmm. And then does that make sense? I mean, and it
yeah.
also, it helps us to come to our true nature when we take the time to go through the yamas and the niyamas. It helps us to come to our true nature, which is discovering or rediscovering again who we are.
Right.
You know, what makes us happy, what brings us misery or unhappiness, and what's the truth about ourselves, really?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So our first niyama that we're going to talk about is Svidyaya. And then after that, we're going to talk about Isovera. So to start it off, Svidyaya actually is a spiritual study of self.
Right. Which I, you know, when you hear the word translated as self-study, you're like, mm-hmm. self-study, like, what is that even? But it literally translates as you're studying yourself, like, you mm-hmm. you have to figure out who you are as a person in order to in order to make the better decisions, you know, instead of decisions based on what other people expect of you or what the world expects of you. But it's really the study of self, so you can let go of the ego, mm-hmm. and it's more about the I, like, I am. So I mean, that's what I got from this
yeah.
self-study. Yeah.
No, I like how you put that. Actually, when I also said spiritual study of self, it doesn't necessarily have to mean spiritual study as in, like, okay, I'm going to open up my Bible and study all about
right.
the Bible or whatever, but just kind of like, what's your inner spirit? Who are you innately? You know, what that, which is what we call true nature in yoga, because sometimes we get so bogged down by what we were taught growing up, that people telling us what right and wrong is, and just trying to understand and identify what actually we feel is right and wrong, as opposed to what we're being told is right and wrong.
Right.
Like, you know, like, I'm the type of person, for instance, I still don't understand the way we live in this society at all, because I feel like life, honestly, should be me living in a treehouse in the middle of a jungle. That's what
right.
I feel is the right way to live. You know, and
yeah,
I don't understand these you know, ways of living where there's
right.
like so, but even in a broader picture, it's like the fact that people rule over other people just is a completely odd to me. I don't understand that concept.
Well, I mean, in you know. Certain as far as when you say rule over other people,
like,
you know,
other
do you
countries, you know, dictatorship and
okay,
and,
right,
you know,
right,
that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right, right. I mean, I do believe that there has to be organization, and in order for that to happen, you need to have somebody lead. However, yes, when you're saying dictatorship, that's a completely, you know, like, you're telling me how to dress, what to believe in. That just becomes a whole other, you know, ball game, I guess you want to call it. But I think the study of self is like what you just said. You study yourself enough to know, you know, hey, this is serving me. This is not serving me. You know, like you can make that decision without without the feelings of guilt or without the doubts or without the, you know, because once you know yourself so much, so well, I feel like the doubts aren't even there. You automatically are like yes to something or no to something because you automatically know how it's going to make you feel, you know?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I think it's like, understanding the difference between what somebody is telling you because of their own perception and what you feel is genuine to you as opposed to somebody else. And also accepting, honestly, that somebody else is different than you and that's okay. And being okay with that. So,
right.
But not to criticize yourself because you think differently from another person. And that you're thinking, oh, maybe they know the right way because it worked for them, you know?
Yes, right.
It may not work for you, you know?
Right.
So I think it's kind of funny when I first started teaching yoga, I absolutely, first of all, love yoga for the experiences that I've had. What I started to notice that people were thinking that it was such a rigid practice that you had to be very like, yes, you, there's a discipline to it, but you make the discipline. Honestly, it's not like this is the key. You have to follow these steps in order to feel this certain way because you have to kind of listen to yourself. You have to observe yourself and what works for you. Like we're talking about in this one, Svidyaya, you have to observe what is actually working for you and get rid of what's not working for you.
Right. In order to, because at the end of this, what you always are trying to do is getting to your true self. And in order to get to your true self, you know, or getting closer to that yoking or uniting, because you had explained one time that yoga is the yoking, right, together.
Is
we have to have this self-study so that we can become more aware of the things that can harm us and the things that can serve us so that we can, again, end up to our true self.
Mm-hmm. I think we have to think of the things that are offered to us, like, the Bible or a yoga, specific way to do a yoga class, like anything that is specific, maybe you're a dancer and there's a specific thing that you have to do. I think you have to look at that as these are the tools. And if the tools don't work for me, then I get rid of that tool, but I could keep this other tool. Like if the wrench, you know, isn't used for everything, the hammer is not used for everything.
Yes,
but you use it. If you don't need it, you don't use it, you know? So it's kind of like for me, for example, I love hot yoga.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And people can be very, I must say religious about hot yoga, but like in that kind of like regimen way about hot yoga, you had your famous Bikram yoga. Obviously, we know that he wasn't a great person, but you know, you're following this person here to think you're going to meet this end goal and it's all going to be perfect. And it's all going to be wonderful. But sometimes it becomes so hard because along the way you realize that things don't work for you. Mm-hmm. And then because it's not working for you, you think that it's something that you're doing wrong instead of just accepting that it's just not working for you. So you have to be very observant of yourself when you're going through your path to be like, this isn't working for me. And if I keep pushing, I'm going to be pushing it past my edge and then I'm going to end up hurting myself. So I personally cannot really do all hot yoga classes. I can only do ones that they allow a bit of like coolness and stuff. Oh, here, this guy told me once when I was in a hot yoga class, you can't drink water. I think you were in the class with me.
What did he say?
He said you're not allowed to drink water inside the hot yoga class. This is in Astoria. He was just saying that it's not allowed. Like, you're supposed to be hydrated. If you were hydrated throughout the day, then you can would feel comfortable once you're inside the class. But I get low blood pressure, right?
Right.
So I'm going to a class. I'm trying out hot yoga for the first time. For the first time, okay? And I need to take sips of water.
Right.
And he could have told me, listen, next time, try to hydrate before class so you don't have to drink water during class, right? Instead, he told me, you're not allowed to drink that water because you're not allowed to drink water during a Bikram yoga class.
Right.
And to me, that was a complete turnoff. I was just like, no, you don't get to tell me what I get to do
explain to me. And like you just said, like, you don't get to tell me. Like, I know me well enough.
Right.
That,
you know,
if I take a sip of water because of my blood pressure, it's not going to ruin the practice that I'm about to do on this mat. You know, like, that's, that I do agree with you with. Like, that whole, like, boxed in, you got to do it this way is not the way life is supposed to be. You know, like, I know what's good for me. And if I do self-study enough, I know what's good for me. And I know that taking a sip of water is not going to, taking a sip of water is not going to damage me. As a matter of fact, if I don't take it, it's going to damage me. And I'm not going to have you. And that's why I love what you say about your practice. Like, when you have your classes, like, you know that it's for them. It's whatever makes your students feel comfortable. Like, you're not going into that studio thinking, you know, I'm doing this practice and you got to do it my way. It's more like, this is the practice that I have for you. You know, make it meaningful to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
I like that. And that's the way it should be. It should be an open studio that way. It shouldn't make you feel like there are these rules that you have to follow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I definitely, when I come into the class, I'm a human being and you're a human being. You know, everybody's human here.
Right.
You know, if we can create something magic within ourselves, that's special. But I'm not here to, you know, I'm not the magic. You're the magic, right?
Right.
You're the magic that's within you. And this is a huge part of our practice is svidyaya, just the observing the self throughout the practice, because the mind says stuff, right? The mind can repeat things that might be negative, or we can observe those negative things and decide, oh, I just noticed I'm telling myself I can't. I just noticed I'm criticizing myself. Because I'm sitting here noticing these thoughts, observing these thoughts, I now can tell myself, that's what I'm doing. That's why this pose is challenging.
Right.
And now what I'm going to do is actually root myself on. I'm going to think to myself, no, I can do this. Or just be like, let go of that thought and focus on the breath. Focus on the dristi, we call it in yoga,
the
point of your attention, your non-moving object, or just something that your eyes can focus on. But, you know, that's the beauty about this niyama, is that it allows you and it reminds you to take time to look at yourself and your thoughts, even, and just to see, okay, are these thoughts, once again, we keep talking about this on the podcast, are these thoughts working for me or working against me? And then what is the thought in itself? Where does it come from? Can I take a deep dive into that and figure out where it's coming from, and then understand its source? And then when that happens, kind of resolve that for myself somehow with whatever tool necessary. Maybe it's just accepting. Maybe it's, okay, every single day I'm going to do some sort of walk in a park or breath practice or something like that. Or maybe go to a therapist just to really untangle this thing that is knotted up inside me that is not allowing me to move past, to move forward, you know?
Right.
But that's,
Yeah, I mean, I think also, you know, somebody who's listening right now might be like, well, how do I even do self-study? Like, what does that even mean? How do I get to know myself? So I think, like, studying the books that we have available to us. You know, like you're doing, you know, you're studying the Yoga Sutras. I'm trying to study the Pratipika. You know, like there's so many different like yoga texts that we can, you know, mm-hmm. study and read and all that stuff to kind of understand where our mind should be, like where, you know, how should we should be treating ourselves. But, you know, it's not just enough to actually read these texts. We have to put them into practice. We have to meditate on them, see what resonates with us. I mean, all of that is what self-study means, is you study these texts, and not just the ones I've just mentioned. There's so much online. There's so much magazines. There's so much, even when it just comes to, you know, the Vedas, the, you know, just things like that. There's so much studying that can be done. So when you're talking about self-study, you want to study these things as well. You want, you know, there's so many websites out there. So having all these books and having all this information is what helps you to really understand how to live more of a yogic life, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. and to be able to know what resonates with you and, you know, not, I guess, yeah, it allows you to know what resonates with you and what you can say yes or no to. And then I love how this, you know, like you were saying the thing about, you know, you were on your yoga mat and the guy was telling you that you can't drink water, you know, but even when we're on our mats, like we know what physical poses serve us and ones that don't. Like we know what our bodies are ready for and what we're not ready for, just based on how much we practice, just based on, you know, if I want to run a 24 mile marathon, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to start with a 24 mile marathon. I'm going to start with a 5K. I'm going to start like, you know, and I've never been a runner before. I'm not going to just run a 24 mile marathon. Right. And that's mm-hmm. kind of what happens with yoga. When I say yoga, I mean yoga on the mat, is I'm not going to like start tomorrow and say, tomorrow I'm going to start practicing, you know, yoga poses, and I'm just going to go up into handstand. Like, that's just not how it works. Like, you mm-hmm. have to know what serves you and what doesn't serve you. And, you know, and then even when you're on the mat, just make sure that you're kind of not distracted by your phone or your emails or anything else, because it takes away from you figuring yourself out. Because I know you know, and I know that when you're on that mat, so much comes to you when you're yeah. like, I know when I'm in poses, so many things are circling in my head, and like, and a lot of I've settled a lot of and resolved so much stuff on my yoga mat, so mm-hmm. much. I mean,
oh,
I
yeah,
mean,
isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's like we have a relationship, me and my mat. Yeah. Like, you know, like we really just have gone through a lot of stuff, you know, so.
Yeah.
Without any distractions. Yeah.
And I would actually love to talk about just some things that I've noticed, that of my own thoughts, of people's thoughts, that actually can happen and arise that we either notice or we don't notice. So for example, when I was doing a prenatal yoga class, actually, I'm sorry, not a prenatal yoga class, a mommy and me yoga class.
Oh, okay.
I was in the class, and my daughter was a baby crawler, and she would just, they had a great bin of toys in the middle, which was awesome for the kids. So, you know, I was doing my yoga practice. The teacher was going along and doing the practice, and my daughter would go all the way to the toys and then come back to me. And she would just crawl around the whole room. I knew that the room was completely safe. And I knew I didn't have to do too much. I could do my yoga practice, smile and glance at her. She would come and crawl on top of me, on top of my belly and whatnot. But a lot of the other moms were very worried about what can happen if they didn't take their eyes off their babies for one second.
Mm-hmm.
So that, now what I'm going to point out is not so much that, you know, like, yeah, they're great moms, right? They care about the baby. They want to make their baby, make sure the baby doesn't get hurt. You know, I was also very, a type of mom that was very like outside of that yoga class, paying attention very much to my daughter, more protective than I wanted to be, for sure. I would right. love to be have one of those be those moms that's like, yeah, my kid's half the block down and I'm fine with it. Never I, right, no, I was right. I was not that mom. But in that class, I was like, this is fine, this is a safe place, and we're just gonna allow this freedom to happen. So I think that it would, like, if I was the and I've had this experience before teaching Mommy and Me yoga class, which right. was just allow your child to go about on its way, be okay with that. But it, as an observant, you might think to yourself, why is it that I'm actually not able to let go and to be in this yoga practice and observe, and I have to observe my child so much? I mean, right. that's something that you have to notice, that you're going to, instead of, you're not, you, when you came into the classroom, you were supposed to kind of let go of your outside of the classroom, you know, protective mode. And you're supposed to come right. into the class and just allow yourself to let go and let the kid do as the kid does right. And play. But instead, you didn't drop that. You came into the class and still kept this very protective mode. And just to kind of like notice that you're doing that, right? And yeah. then just let that go. That's kind of like, observe it and then just keep telling yourself, everything's fine, let it go. Everything's fine, let it go, you know? And it, yeah. and it's something that can happen in any situation.
So that's, I mean, it takes, mm-hmm. it takes practice. And mm-hmm. I think the point you're bringing up right now is sort of going to hit into our other niyama. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's about sort of like, just trusting the process, that's trusting true. The universe. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. It's hard. But however, you're right. It becomes easier the more you practice it, because the more you realize who you are able to let go more. You're not trying to control every situation or every thought or everything. As a matter of fact, speaking of thoughts, when you're trying to let go of a negative thought, most people think if they just drop it, what's the thing? Oh, if they keep thinking about it, because they keep thinking the negative thought, because they think if they keep thinking about it, they're going to come up with a solution as to not to think about yeah. it. Mm-hmm. However, what most therapists will tell you is, no, you're supposed to literally just let the thought come without judgment, let it be. And that's it. It'll eventually just go away on its own. Like, thoughts are just that intrusive. And some of those intrusive thoughts are either trying to teach you something, mm-hmm. but don't try to have your thoughts and think another thought to try and solve it. I know it's very confusing, but it's scary. It's scary when you're sitting on that mat and it's quiet and you're done, and all of a sudden you're in Shavasana and you feel good, and then all of a sudden, like, these thoughts start coming in and you're like, oh my God, I have to stop thinking this thought. And instead, it's like, stop overjudging yourself, you know, like those, you know, just let things be. But I think a lot of self-study is also a lot of self trust, which mm-hmm. so many of us, yeah. you know, just don't. It's hard to not have self-trust, because we live in a world where, you know, things happen at the drop of a hat. So it's pretty tough to, you know, be in this constant mode of just trusting that everything will turn out. And you know what? Sometimes it doesn't turn out, but, you know, it just kind of is like accepting the good and the bad, basically, you know?
You know what? This is actually kind of funny, because we're actually in a time in our lives where accepting and observing their thoughts more often, and not trying to kind of reject the thought and right. but just kind of accept it, notice it, and then, you know, be okay with it, I guess, or just notice it. Like, it's the whole, like, you know, if you're not feeling happy, you're not sitting there denying it to yourself because you feel like you're supposed to feel something else. Right, but you're actually right. accepting, this is the way I feel right now. You know, I want to feel happy, but I don't feel happy right now.
And it's okay.
And it's okay. Tomorrow's right. another day, maybe.
Or 10 minutes from now is another yeah. time. You know? I mean, yeah. I think that we get stuck always in this feeling of, I have to feel happy, I have to feel happy, that when we're not feeling happy, we're like, there's something wrong with us, there's something going on. And it's like, no, it's okay. Like, we were given all these feelings to feel them. It's not, you know, we unfortunately were not born into a world to live in a constant state of happiness. Yeah. You know, I mean, we can reach a state of where when unhappy things happen, to be able to deal with them and not have to suffer through them. Mm-hmm. But suffering is, I wouldn't say suffering is a part of our life, but we do have the tools to be able to handle the suffering and accept it and stay in it, you know, long enough to overcome it. That's what I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Now, I also think that as far as this topic is concerned, that I don't know, for me in my life right now, I'm doing a lot of self-study. And I notice what pops up in my head. And I notice when the thing that pops up in my head hurts me. When it feels like someone, like a jab, you know? So for instance, if I'm just having one of those days where I'm doing something and then something critical happens, like I could be teaching a class. I could be teaching a class and then I say to myself, oh my God, they think I'm stupid, you know?
Right.
And so I notice that and then I go, let it go. And I actually move on to the next, you know, niyama, which is let God, basically, right?
Yeah, right.
Isovera. So it's just kind of like, let it go, you know, be present with where you are. God's going to take care of me here. I'm going to be fine. I don't know what everybody's thinking. So why am I making up stuff in my head that that makes me feel bad about what I think people are thinking?
Right.
And not once did I ever come out of a class where somebody was like, hey, you're stupid.
You know? Yeah, because it's
the class. They're like, right, that was great. Right. You know?
Right. Like it's all so these silly scenarios we think are not even things that are actually happening in real life or in real time.
Yeah.
So, you know, Svadhyaya is, it literally is requiring us to pay attention all the time. Yeah. And I know that for some, that might be like, well, what do you mean pay attention all the time? Like I always, yes, you always have to be aware, but once you start practicing it, you don't even realize that you are being aware. You literally just go through life and you'll ask yourself, well, why am I even doing this? You know, just paying attention all the time, but it doesn't get tiring. It's not one of those, like, you don't feel like you're on all the time. You just, once you know yourself, you know exactly what you like and don't like. And it's a beautiful thing. It really is. And like, you actually don't even care if you're going to be offending anyone, because you're not worried about offending anyone, because by saying yes to something or to someone that you really meant to say no to, it's more the practice of self-love for yourself. And if that person gets offended, then that's on them, you know? Mm-hmm. But once you start to really know who you really are, you're just kind of like, all right, listen, this is me. You've asked me a question. I said, no, I don't want to participate. And that's it, you know? But it's, it takes a lot. Like, you know, I think that we also live in a world where we think we always have to be invited or involved or a part of something that when we're not, we almost feel left out. And it's like, well, why don't you look into that? Why do you feel left out? Like, why, you know, you shouldn't, you know what I mean? Like you shouldn't, like there's something there. If you're feeling left out, there's something there. And it definitely does not have to do with you not being invited out. Like obviously especially, that group is not for you, you know?
Yeah. Especially since seeing what everybody else is doing or looking like they're doing in the world is so accessible to us.
Right. You know, right. Because yes.
Social media. Mm-hmm. And you know, that you could just get on your phone and just be like, oh my God, they're climbing a mountain. What the hell am I doing with myself right now?
It's so true. Right. Like, you're like, wait a minute. I gotta redo my bucket list here. Hold on.
You know, look at the, what they ate, look at that restaurant they went to, look at the beautiful living room,
right?
You know, whatever. Instead of being present in your own life and just looking around and go, you know what? This is something that I created for myself, which is beautiful, and that what makes me feel comfortable. And
right.
You know, instead of thinking I gotta keep up with the Joneses, which is this so silly that unfortunately it's almost like competition now on, you know, Instagram and whatever, that you know, you don't want to show the part of your house that's messy when you're taking a picture or whatever. It's like, right, people have to have the cleanest houses.
Yeah, it's like, but it's this false sense of things, yeah, right? And it's just right, like, and a study of self-practice is like, you have to look at, like, the way you speak to your friends and your family, the way you react to when plans change. Are you flexible? How, even like things like how are you dressing up? Like, what is, you know, everything that we do literally tells us the story of who we are in every single moment, you know? So, I read that the study of self-practice involves, satya, which is honesty, in order to view ourselves from an honest point of view. Tapas, like you just said before, discipline, because we have to actually be totally honest with ourselves. And then, which means like sometimes even things that we don't like doing. And then nonviolence, which, you know, always reminds us to look at ourselves without judgment or criticism, you know? So, I mean, it's beautiful how, yeah, and it's so beautiful how all these yamas and like how they all just interlock with one another, you know? Like, I love it. I love how one, and how it's all like, you have to practice the first niyama in order to get to the second one, in order to get to the third one, you know? Like, it's not like, you know what I mean? Like, they all have to work together. Like, it's not like you could just do number one, you're done with that one, move on to number two. Like, it all just comes together. I mean, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful.
It explains, you know, the journey so perfectly. Yes. Mm-hmm. And also, like, okay, so are you ready to move on to the next one?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. Because I'm loving that last one. Yes. Yeah.
Because, so I was going to say that how it explains the journey, and also part of the Svadhyaya is about, you know, reading books that actually kind of remind you of your spirituality and what, you know, you're connected to. And that's another part of your self-study and everything, but also like trusting in God that, you know, you're going on your journey in the correct direction and at this timing that you're supposed to be doing it. So instead of just kind of being so rigid and basic. So the last niyama is Isavara, which is total surrender to God. Basically, they say that if you have this niyama down, then you're solid. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah,
else.
It says like you don't even have to practice. No, it's true. I've read that too. Yeah. Like, you don't even have to practice any of the other, like, any of the others. Like, once you, if you've mastered this niyama, you don't have to practice any of the others. And for anybody out there, it means, like Christina just said, total surrender to God or supreme being or higher self, whatever is grander than you. But I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that my entire journey in life has brought me to this last niyama. And I believe that because I practiced this one so much, I'm able to really, truly kind of, I understand the other yamas and niyamas, and those, I wouldn't say come easy to me, but I understand them. But I feel like this niyama is like the top of everything, you know, because if you're giving your entire self over to whatever higher self you believe in, everything else works itself out, you know, like in the way it's meant to be. That's what I want to say. Things work out in the way it's meant to be. Like, when I do my prayers, I always say, let your will be done the way you want, not the way I want, but the way you want, you know, like whatever that may be. Like, I might have a plan, but if I have total trust in God, which I do, I completely trust whatever he's got planned for me, whatever, from tiny things to big things. So I think that that's how all the other yamas and niyamas you know, work themselves out. And I think that that's why, like, I'm not scared to let, to totally surrender, because I know myself enough. I know myself enough to know in the times I have not surrendered and how things have gone awfully wrong when I tried to do things on my own. And then I know the times, the many times when I've completely surrendered and how they've gone exactly they were supposed to meant to be, and the big difference in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it's so funny. I'm listening to you and everything you're saying, and I'm coming to the realization that I need to surrender to God more than I think I am, because to me, like, the idea of complete surrender, because I'm not from a, I'm not like a rooted person. Like, I have to root myself constantly in order to feel calmer, connected, out of my head. I have to actually, I'm, you know, kind of a wind energy. I'm kind of flying up all the time. So I have to root my feet down in order to help myself just feel connected. But the one thing that I think about, you know, connecting my spirit, but I don't specifically, like, I have times when I talk to God and I do feel like, okay, God's there. He's with me. He's going to take me. But I feel like I haven't practiced enough.
Right.
Realizing or, and just really like connecting with God in the moment, you know, like saying to God, I think we were talking about this before we started the podcast, but just saying a little like, hey God, you know, what's up? No. Hey God, you know, like, help me, please help guide me right now. Let's just say for, I'm going to teach a yoga class. Please guide me right now and be on my shoulders when I'm in this yoga class so that I can help people through their journey and have a great class and, you know, not be worried about anything and protect people and hold a space for people. But I feel like that's something that I do want to actually say a lot more often, not just like, you know, maybe once a month when I remember it, but just to actually do that as a practice every single day, is to have that conversation with God, not just as a prayer at the end of the night thanking for everything, but as just moment to moment going, you know, hey God, can you bless my food? Thank you.
No, but it's so true. Exactly. I know. And like, we take moments like that for granted, you know, like we really just, you know, we sit down and we eat, that's it. Like, there's no thank you. And it's just like, cause I think we go into that sense of like, well, who am I thanking? I bought the food, you know, it's kind of like, well, it was my money, but I mean, life could have went so many different ways. So why not thank God for being a lot, you know, we're not thanking really God for the food. I think we're thanking God for being alive in order to eat the food, the experience. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's where things get a little confusing. And again, you know, going back to the word God, I know that a lot of, you know, the Yoga Sutras mentions it a lot, but I think the point is that it's not some bearded guy sitting on a throne, you know, like it's supposed to be a state of collective consciousness. I think that that's what God is supposed to represent, this higher self. So basically it's this collective consciousness, which obviously then represents all of us. So it's just showing that we are all one person under this grand being, whatever that grand being might be for you, but it's not like it's not a tangible person. I don't think it's supposed to be a tangible person where you're supposed to like devote yourself to, or, you know, bow down to and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, definitely there are religions that works for them. Like, if that's something that you want to do. And also, like, you know, some people think if somebody were just say, you know, my idea of what God is might be different from what another person is. So it's basically, it is whatever works for you, you know, and I think it's all beautiful, honestly, as long as you're not harming yourself or anybody else, that you can Think about whatever you can have a picture of what your God is, or you can have a picture of just what you said, you know, like collective consciousness, or even just knowing that the people around you are all God is within them, you know, are all part of that. But right. also, like, kind of what you were saying was, whoopsies, lost my train of thought for a second there. But just kind of like, now my mind just went blank. That's the problem. God was like, no, erase that.
Backspace, backspace, backspace. Yeah.
There is a word that I was going to use. Anyway, let me let you talk.
I guess, you know, it just comes to surrender without mm-hmm. trying to control it, without our monkey minds getting in the way, you know, it's just kind of like, but even like on the mat, like I noticed, like sometimes there'll be days where there'll be a certain pose and it's just like, you know, the teacher will say, you know, you could always meet us in, you know, child's pose if this pose is not for you. And many times I'll be like, mm-hmm. nope, I got to do the pose. But it's like, listen to yourself, listen to your body. If you are not meant to go in downward dog right now or not meant to do pigeon pose and you really just want to rest, then just do the child's pose. Just lay there. You are listening. Listen to yourself is so much more important than doing the pose, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Because it's just the way it is.
Right. And God is going to protect you. God's going to let you know, like, if you listen, if you tune in and you're going to, God's going to tell you when it's right. time to move, when right. it's time to go deeper, when it's time to, you know, meet your edge. But what I was actually, I just remember what it was, because you were talking about maybe it's not a guy with a beard or this or that. And I feel like those images are given to us, mm-hmm. like deities and Greek gods and right. I don't know much about Greek gods. I don't really know much at all. It seems a lot of violence, so maybe I shouldn't even talk
yeah,
about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I don't really know about that. But you know, other gods like that, like I know, for instance, deities, for example, like Indian gods and stuff, they're meant for you to embody them, not to mm-hmm. worship them, but to embody them. Like you have Shiva, he's meant, they're asking you to be free, to be kind to people, to dance, you know, to feel freedom within yourself, to give and take care of people. They're right. asking you to embody that, not to worship them and do this because if you don't do it, I'm going to punish you.
Right.
And even like Jesus himself, who is somebody that when I grew up, I absolutely loved him just because he taught me how to be kind to other people. He reiterated something that was already inside of me, which mm-hmm. was that kindness and giving and, you know, is the most valuable, important thing in the world, that you can be selfless and, right. and help right. to heal people, as opposed to just thinking of greed and wanting everything for yourself and thinking that, you know, your success is more important than somebody else's, you know, hunger or something like that.
Right.
But even though I absolutely love Jesus, I still feel like he's saying, don't worship me, embody me. Like this
right.
is, you already know what the thing is. So just look, you're right. Just do it. Be good.
Yeah, he's not looking for the high five. He's looking for the, look at the way I lived my life, and this is how I would want for you to live your life. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's not about an image. It's not about worship. You know, because how many people, let's say, for instance, go to church, and I don't just mean Christian church. I mean many churches, and they go and they have these, you know, statues there, and they're worshiping and they're doing their prayers and but they're not really putting that practice into their own lives. You know, they have mm-hmm. people they don't talk to, or arguments that they have, or, you know, they're not really, you know, or they get pissed at the drop of a hat because somebody, you know, I don't know, like cut them off on the, you know, on the road or whatever. Like that's what it means to embody. It means to do what I would do, not what you, you know, worshiping someone doesn't necessarily mean that you're living a spiritual life. Doesn't mean that you're a spiritual person, mm-hmm. you know, show me, don't just say to me, you know, like, it's like somebody saying, I love you, but I want you to show me how you love me. How are you going to show me that? You know?
Yeah.
So I think, I think that's very important. That was a good point. I like that. I do. I like that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that as far as, you know, religion is concerned, which is such a beautiful guide for yourself, but, you know, just make sure that it's not just, I read the book, I'm hoping that God doesn't catch me doing the wrong things. It's right. kind of like, you know,
right. Yeah. Just
kind of live in that philosophy of being kind to others. And even if you don't get like the kindness in return, know mm-hmm. who you are and just be like, you know what? It's okay. I was my truest self in this point here. I was staying within my true nature,
yeah.
which is a person that wants to feel joy, wants to be silly, or whatever your character is that you enjoy about yourself. Right. And as right. long as I stood my ground, I stayed in my true nature. I don't need to be get my revenge on somebody by, you know, getting mad at them because they weren't as kind right. to me.
And what does that solve? It doesn't even do anything. Like, doesn't even, it just perpetuates the situation, and it actually doesn't even make you feel good as a person. No, right. Yeah. No. Yeah.
It definitely slows you down on your path.
Absolutely. Too, you know? Yeah, absolutely. You know? Mm-hmm. So, I think we did good.
We're
closing this chapter. We are closing this chapter. And I think you mentioned it before, but I think we're going to edit that and we're going to start all over again by when you mentioned before that, you know, yeah. our next podcasts are going to mostly be, Christina and I have the ability to have spontaneous conversations that somehow always delve deep. They somehow always go deep. We always come up with solutions for one another. Like, she just called me earlier. She was having this situation, we talked about writing, and mm-hmm. we were both like, oh, okay, well, is that how you solve it? And we literally had a podcast in 10 seconds. But
yeah.
I think that that's our goal is to head back into that direction, is to have these spontaneous conversations, conversations that I'm sure many of you would have with people in your own lives. And mm-hmm. We feel like it's important to share these conversations because I think it would definitely help a lot of other people. So yeah. mm-hmm. hopefully next week you will join us in this spontaneous conversation that we will have based on whatever's going on at the yeah. time, because mm-hmm. there's always something going on in our lives, I feel. So
that's the yeah. truth.
Yeah.
Do we want to do what did you learn from this podcast?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
takeaways are takeaways.
Yeah, yeah, takeaway. So takeaway is self-study. I know that I have to do more of it because I know that I've kind of come to a, like, studying these yamas and niyamas was perfect because I hadn't studied like a book like this in a long while. I was starting to just kind of do my yoga practice of the, you know, of the poses, but I wasn't really doing much more. So I think I have to like start getting back into a lot more reading. Mm-hmm. So it definitely, that's my takeaway. So definitely start. I have millions of books I could be picking up to read, so I can I can do more of that, which I love doing. And then surrender. I mean, I love that if you are able to fully surrender, which I know for a fact it is very, very scary, because I've been a person to want to control my life because I think that I know best for myself. But I think that if you learn to surrender to the being that has created you and knows you better than yourself, that I think that you'll live a much more peaceful life.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my takeaways. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking about one of the reasons why perhaps that you are trying to control your life more, why it can be a challenge, right, to just let go. Mm-hmm. Just because I think that most people have this, right? They weren't in control of their life for a period of time, whether it was when you were a child, when you had parents, you know, your parents were raising you and they were telling you this, this, and that, and then you had to kind of separate yourself to figure out what is you, what is true for you, and what is different for somebody else. You know, like, mm-hmm. your parents may think way different than you. Some people think exactly the same as their parents, which I've seen. Right. Like, wow, that's awesome. But you know, sometimes we find we're trying to get control back of the way we think, and that becomes a part of our life. That's why we gain control, as a protection to preserve ourselves, to keep what we think of who we are on the correct path. And then once you've kind of attained that, once you've kind of figured out what you want, you can also then allow yourself to let go and let God, now that you've come to a place where you're observing, okay, the control might be a bit much and it might mm-hmm. be preventing me from seeing and learning other things that, or as we call it in yoga, what the universe has to offer you. Mm-hmm. Right? A higher power, or you know just kind of a you know, first the path is painted for us, then we erase that, we paint our own path, and right. then we can kind of let go of that and allow ourselves to be on the journey freely, now that we're rooted ourselves, but we're a little bit more grounded. The takeaway for Svidyaya, I'm really excited that I'm on this journey in my life where I'm not even, like, the most important part of my practice isn't even the yoga poses at all. It's the observation of myself and of life. And it really started doing that last year because of just observing my experience through the pandemic and everything. And that kind of just took me further here. I mean, I feel like my own therapist at this point, honestly, even though right. I've been telling people for years, observe yourself, be a scientist here that's observing yourself through the practice. Now I feel like I'm observing myself in life. What's stopping me from doing something that I really want to do? You know, right. what excites me? What do I need to do during the day? Like, for me, I need to dance sometimes. I need to have a dance. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. You know? Move that energy around. Exactly. No, totally. That's very therapeutic. Absolutely. Yeah. 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 I like that.
That's another way that I feel like I'm surrendering to God, is when I do take that time to go crazy and dance and look like a lunatic as my daughter and my husband look at me sideways. And I'm right. like, well, I'm, you know, hopefully you'll feel the freedom enough to just dance in the middle of the living room, in the kitchen, right. and, you know, all over the place.
Right,
but,
right,
but
right.
But also just, like, allowing myself to continue to fall and be free with God, you know, mm-hmm. continue to feel held by God's hand when I'm falling, you know, when I want to allow myself to fall, trusting God.
Right, trusting God, and just like I also add in my prayers, like I let you guide me, like wherever I'm meant to be for the day or for the moment, I'm gonna let you guide me without. And I catch myself, you know, I catch myself sometimes being like, I gotta make this appointment, I gotta do this thing because I said yes, and then things just aren't working out to get me there, and I'm like, mm-hmm. well, maybe I'm not supposed to be there, and I kind of mm-hmm. just I let it go and I trust it. So.
You might it be resisting it because it's absolutely. Not for you. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
right, right, right. Yeah, yeah. But it takes a lot of self-study and self-awareness to go there and to kind of surrender. Yeah,
even thinking about trusting in God makes me feel so much love that I want to give. It makes me feel like I want to go cuddle with my husband, go cuddle with my daughter,
yeah.
and just be silly and light, like, the expectation and the weight of putting everything on yourself isn't there anymore because God has you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so very true. It's so very true. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Wonderful.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
So thanks you. Thank you.
Thank you. For joining. This was awesome. This was great. I'm glad that we did this, and I'm glad that whoever's listening, I hope that they have their own takeaways. And I'm looking forward to next week where we're just going to wing it. We're shooting from the hip.
Yep. Yeah. We're going to talk. You're going to hear about our real life and how, you know, how we deal with it.
Right. Exactly. It'll be interesting.
Help each other out. Yeah.
Right. Tune in. It'll be interesting. Yeah. All right, Chris.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.